This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, brownszone.com, where you can read all of his work. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, sir.
What's going on, guys?
Scott, eh?
All right, so are you on trade watch, or is it bigger picture than that watch?
Man, I'd say both. I think the trade watch obviously is more imminent, and I think it's important to see who they trade, what they do, if they do anything. But there are certainly bigger questions hanging over everything with this organization.
I said early in the show today, I think the Haslams need to decide. And they need to know, I guess, is a better way. They've already, I'm sure, decided. Is Andrew Berry their GM and is Kevin Stefanski their coach? Buying out a contract, paying a guy off is not that big of a deal in the NFL. Do you think Andrew Berry's their GM and Kevin Stefanski's their coach?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if you need to know that right now. There's a lot of season left, I think. Things can change over the last, what do I got, 8 games left. I don't think you need to make that decision on November 4th. You know, a week ago, we had a different view of everything, and it felt like they'd figured some stuff out, and, you know, Kevin Stefanski was off the hot seat, and then things change fast in this league. So I agree completely that they need to figure that out. I don't know if they need to do it sooner rather than later. I think I'd let it breathe for a while. But those are huge questions. And I would even say that the Andrew Berry question is more important because you have huge organizational decisions that need to be made as far as Deshaun Watson and how do you handle his salary cap situation and how do you rebuild this roster, or do you tear it down, or do you just try to find a quarterback and use that quarterback with the roster you have? You know, Kevin Stefanski is secondary to that because he's going to coach whoever you give him. So I think the number one thing they have to figure out is Andrew Berry the right guy to lead them out of whatever they're in right now?
How bad is this year's team? I mean, like, there are times when I sit here and I look and I say, well, these numbers feel like 1999. In 1999, they had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 games where they scored more than 20 points in a 16-game season? I hate that as my bar, but there are times I watch this offense and just go, ugh, this is like 99. It always feels like it. And maybe I'm just overreacting. Please tell me I am.
I do think there is some of that going on. And Browns fans and Browns media are so scarred by everything that's happened since 99. I think it's easy to fall back on that. I understand it as a reference point, and you're right. The numbers are the numbers. So, mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to say that, you know, I mean, they've scored 20 points in one game, right? And they're 9 games more than halfway through the season. So
yep.
That's awful. I think the reasons for the struggles on offense are fascinating, and I think they're multiple, and it starts with your quarterback play, but it goes beyond that. You know, yesterday it felt like, to me, that they didn't have a great plan to attack what the Chargers were doing. And Jameis Winston had time to throw. And I know he sacked 6 times. I would argue 4 or 5 of those were because he couldn't find anybody open and he was trying to, you know, he just held the ball for a while and tried to scramble and tried to make a play, and eventually the protection breaks down. And I don't know if that's a scheme issue where they're not able to scheme guys open. I don't know if it's a talent issue where guys aren't getting enough separation. The receivers aren't getting enough separation. I don't know if Winston wasn't seeing guys, which he did the week before, so that seems the least likely of those options to me. But it's been happening all year. It's been happening with multiple quarterbacks. So there's something bigger going on with this offense, and that's certainly concerning. I still, you know, believe Kevin's a smart guy and can figure it out, but something's gone horribly wrong with this offense. And, you know, is it the staff changes they made? Is it all about the quarterback? But I don't think it's as, to get back to your point, I don't think it's as bad as 99. I think there is talent on the team, but maybe that's makes it worse because they're playing as poorly as they are when everybody expected more, and I think expected more for legitimate reasons.
Scott Petrak joining us, brownzone.com. Covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Tell me your thoughts on these. It appears that Andrew Berry missed on a couple of really big things this season. Miscalculated the offensive line. And by saying that, either it's gotten old or it was injured or they had bad information about how guys were healing up or they weren't ready for what was coming injury-wise. And rolling back the defense pretty much as it was last year, overestimating maybe how good the defense might be. What do you think about those?
Yeah, I certainly see why you'd say that. With the offensive line, I think it's tough because it's not playing at nearly the same level it had. And I think you're right about some stuff, Jeff. I think they probably got the timeline wrong with guys returning to health, and that really affected everything. Yes, they're getting older. Is Joe Bitonio the same player? Probably not. I think he's still, you know, a really good left guard.
And Scott, I think talent-wise, there was reason to really like this offensive line.
Well, right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, so I do think that not having your tackles healthy and ready week one had a domino effect. I also think, and they haven't been able to establish the run in that. It's part line. It's part running backs. You know, they didn't have Nick Chubb, and now Nick Chubb's still working through, you know, coming off that injury. I think the quarterback play early in the season made the line look worse than it was. I do think that's legitimate. And if you had a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson and one who could see the field and didn't hang out of the ball and run into sacks, that we might not be having the same discussion about the offensive line. But that's not getting Andrew Berry off the hook. And I do think for whatever reason, and injuries are part of it, they weren't where they needed to be week one, and it set a terrible tone for the season. As far as the defense,
I like the defense. You know, I thought, okay, I see this, but it looks like it's not quite the same unit that it was.
Yeah, well, obviously the numbers are way down. But like in the, Martin Emerson Jr. hasn't had the same season, and you could probably argue Greg Newsom. You know, he's been hot and cold this year. I think the biggest drop off has probably been Emerson. You know, before the last couple of weeks, I think he's played pretty well the last couple of weeks. But to me, it doesn't feel like a player thing. It feels bigger. And I think that's the thing you say that about the whole team, that just when you're playing bad football, everything goes wrong. And Dustin Hopkins, you know, kicks one into line and your return team gives up a 53-yarder that sets up a touchdown. And you just point to all these things. Like, the reason they gave up two touchdowns in the first half on those passes wasn't because Denzel Ward is not a great corner. I mean, I think he's had an outstanding year. But they have two breakdowns that kill him. Now, is that an Andrew Berry roster construction issue? It's not. Now, you could say that Juan Thornhill was a bad free agent signing, and I'll listen to that all day long. But whether or not Thornhill's a good safety, they had nothing to do with that play, right? That was a miscommunication or whatever it was. Now, it kills the game, and it skews everything. So, I don't know. Like, I think they're talented enough that the D-line is good. JOK is really good. You know, Denzel Ward's really good. So, I don't know. I think that's why it's so hard to get a handle on this, because I think if you just break it down, you could say, oh, yeah, I think the roster's really good, but they're not living up to that potential. And that's where the disconnect is. But I'm not ready to say it's all about the roster.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, who do you think will be here after, or who won't be here after 5 o'clock tomorrow? Any names you're thinking other than, I mean, Za'Darius Smith seems to be one foot out the door, but who else could be gone?
Yeah, I think the candidates outside of Za'Darius are any of those veteran D tackles. You know, if somebody wanted a Dalvin Tomlinson or Shelby Harris or Mo Hurst or Quentin Jefferson, I think the Browns would trade two of those guys. You know, Greg Newsom, does he have enough value on the market where it'd be worth giving up a former first-round pick who signed through 2025 that plays a vital role for your team and hasn't been perfect, but is still, in my opinion, a starting caliber guy in this league? If somebody made the right offer, I could see him. Jed Wills, last year of his contract, plays a premium position. Now, that would kill their depth at tackle, but he didn't start the last two games. They picked DeJuan Jones ahead of him this week. I think they want to see what they have, if DeJuan Jones can be the left tackle long-term. So if you could get something for Jed Wills, I think it would make sense to trade him. And then, you know, Elijah Moore, I don't think he's happy here. I don't know if you could get anything for him, but if you could, I think they trade him.
There are very few franchise quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, guys who you think, yep, that's our guy. We don't need an upgrade. Boom, sold. I don't think the Browns have one. I don't think any of us think they have one. What would you do moving the rest of this year with that in mind? With folks thinking, let's see what you have in DTR.
Right.
He's a fifth-round pick. What the likelihood of DTR becoming your guy? Jameis is serviceable, I think. If he was your starter next year, serviceable. But what would you do here?
Yeah, it's for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I would continue to play Jameis for the next, let's call it, handful of weeks. I think there's too many veterans on this team. You owe it to them to try to win games. And I believe, and I think they believe, Winston gives them the best chance. I know he threw three interceptions, didn't play well yesterday. He also played pretty well the week before against the Ravens, right?
Sure
that's
did.
Jameis
sure
Winston.
Did.
So, you know, I hate to jump to conclusions either way, but I think he's better than DTR. I think he gives you a better chance to win. And they're not mathematically eliminated yet. I would ride it out with him for a while, and I think that's what Kevin Stefanski said they're going to do. At some point when they're mathematically eliminated, it doesn't make sense to turn it to DTR and see what he has. Yeah, I think there is value in that. I don't think you need 8 games to see him. I don't think you need to see him play 8 games. I think if you saw him play the last 3 or 4, that's probably enough, especially given the thought that I don't think he's the answer, like you said. And I don't think they think he's the answer. So you just maybe want to reaffirm that to yourself as an organization that, yeah, he's not the guy. And maybe get a sense, can he be your two or not, right? Is he not even that good? So that's how I would handle it. You know, if Andrew Berry wanted to make the argument that, hey, we want to see DTR for 8 games and get a great gauge, I understand that thought process. I just don't agree with it because I do think there's a balance there between preparing for the future and trying to win games right now and showing the other 52 guys in the locker room that you're out there to compete and to win because these guys just play too hard and work too hard.
So do you think DTR lost that when they made him the number two quarterback? Or what? Like, why do you think he was the number two quarterback against Cincinnati?
I think that it was because Jameis Winston messed up the 3rd-and-1 in Philly
on the week
on the handoff to Stead Tillman.
Okay.
And that left a bad taste in the coaches. I don't know, nobody's told me this. It's just, it feels like the timing was – it was such a big play in the game. They trusted Winston on that play. He made the wrong call. And if they were close to even anyway, let's put DTR as a number two. And then you had the finger issue. I think guys in the locker room think Winston's better, and that made sense to go to him when you knew Watson was done for the year.
Scott Petrak joining us. If you're sitting here at 2-7 and you have eight games to go, you're not going to, you know, not try to win football games, as you said, which is why, and I agree with you, I'd play Jameis. I just wonder if there's any move that they think they can make that benefits them long term here, Scott, before the trade deadline or with a roster shuffle or anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm hard pressed to think of something.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I think anything's on the table. And let's assume that they're not going to count on Deshaun Watson to be the guy next year, which I don't see how they could. So you got to figure it out. And it's probably not Jameis Winston. Could it be a Bryce Young or an Anthony Richardson or Justin Fields? I think those are the kind of guys on one track you think, okay, Sam Darnold, does he become available? Are those the guys you can get and say, hey, we're going to try to plug this guy in, salvage somebody's career, and see if he can be the guy with or without drafting a guy in the top five or top 10 or wherever they wind up picking? So I think they're going to have to consider all those things. They have to be budget conscious because they don't have the salary cap space because of Watson's, you know, the commitments to Watson. So they're going to get really creative, and they're going to have to consider everything and every option and every free agent, every trade. But I think those are the kind of, you know, if it feels like grasping at straws, maybe it is. But I think those are the kind of shots you're going to have to take, unless you just say you're going to draft a guy with your first pick in the first round and hope that there's a legitimate quarterback coming out of college in the draft.
That's a tough way to go. I just can't believe that this team is sitting here right now in this situation, Scott. You know, it was, I think, very unexpected. I don't know that this was a surefire playoff team, but I think we all thought it was a surefire we're going to compete team, and that just hasn't happened. That's stunning to me.
It is to me too, Jeff. And I think, you know, you look at, and I know fans probably hate to hear this, but you look at Pittsburgh, and they didn't have a quarterback situation figured out, and they still probably don't. Yet they find a way to win because their defense plays up to its potential, because they have the culture and the tradition and all that, and they have a great head coach, that they're able to figure it out even though they don't have the biggest piece that's necessary. And I'm sure their ceiling's lower than, you know, Buffalo and Kansas City and whoever's got a big-time quarterback. But they can still win games and still win a lot of games. And this organization has shown that it's usually not capable of doing that. Now, last year they did it with all those injuries, and that was a remarkable job by the organization, by the coaching staff. But it has not shown the ability to sustain that, whether it's last week to this week or last year to this year.
One name of somebody who might jump up and surprise us who gets traded by the Browns.
I don't think it's going to happen, but let me say Jameis Winston.
Okay.
If somebody wanted him, I think they would give him up.
Okay. It's interesting because I mentioned that yesterday too. There might be a team that thinks we need a serious upgrade at backup quarterback, and they bring Jameis in. You know, look at Miami. You know, they have Tua's concussion situation. It's interesting. I thought the same thing. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Gus.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com. You can read all of Scott's work.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.